Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining me in the session. I will be talking today about patient navigators and how they're reducing cancer disparities among minority populations in Chicago through the Patient Navigation Research Program. My role in the program has been really through the very beginning, through the first patient that was enrolled in the fall of 2006. I've been helping with data collection until the very end, basically, when we're trying to clean up data now. I don't have any financial disclosures to disclose. Just to give you a little background of what is patient navigation, who patient navigators are, and how they relate to cancer health disparities. Patient navigation is assistance that's offered to healthcare consumers. And who are the healthcare consumers? They're patients, they're survivors of cancer, they're family members. And this assistance is offered to help them access the healthcare system and to identify any barriers to quality of care. Patient navigators can be registered nurses, they can be a social worker, or a lay navigator. For example, if a navigator is working in the community where patients require a lot of coordination with transportation, the navigator doesn't necessarily need a registered nurse degree or graduate school education. They can be trained to help patients coordinate transportation. So patient navigation, it could help patients with a variety of diseases, but I will be talking today about cancer in particular. And cancer health disparities are differences in cancer incidence, which are new cases of cancer, prevalence, which are existing cases, mortality, and then burden or related health conditions that exist among certain populations. So an example of burden would be if you don't have healthcare insurance, if you're in a lower socioeconomic status and you've just been diagnosed with cancer, that right there is, you know, a huge burden on you in dealing with your disease. So cancer health disparities can be characterized by population groups, as you can see here. Age, disability, education, ethnicity, race, gender, geographic location, and income. So to give you an example of disparities in the ethnicity and racial groups, if you look at overall cancer mortality incidence, you'll find that 25% more African American, you know, people die of cancer than white people. The next few slides are going to show you some examples in women's health, breast and cervical cancer mortality, because that's what my presentation will be focusing on. You look at breast cancer incidence and death rates, and you see that although more white women get diagnosed with breast cancer, more African American and black women die from it. That's a disparity. When you look at cervical cancer, you see that more Hispanic and Latinos get diagnosed with cervical cancer, yet again, we see more African American and blacks die from it. So what is being done to address cancer disparities? Well, National Cancer Institute developed the Patient Navigation Research Program. Here's sort of a table that lists all the 9 sites that are involved. Each site works with a different type of population that are affected with breast, cervical, colorectal, or prostate cancer abnormalities or cancer. And almost all the sites work with African American and Latino populations. I will be talking today about the Chicago experience and specifically patient navigators working with women who have breast and cervical cancer abnormalities or cancer. So to let you kind of explain to you how the whole project was set up in Chicago, it was a quasi-experimental control design. And what that means is there was a control group and an experimental group, the experimental group with a group of patients who had a navigator working with them. We enrolled patients in the project who had breast and cervical cancer abnormalities or cancer. Most of our patients were African American and Hispanic women over 18 years old. We enrolled over 1,000 women. Most of the women were in the cervical arm of the project. 4 women had both breast and cervical cancer abnormalities. So we enrolled patients from two sites in Chicago. The first one was Access Community Health Network, and this is actually where most of our patients came from. Access is a network of clinics. It's the largest federally qualified healthcare center in Chicago. There's about 60 health centers all over the Chicagoland area providing healthcare for the underserved community. They see over 200,000 patients each year. And we worked at five of those community health centers. The other site where we enrolled patients was University of Illinois Medical Center. And that's where patients were referred for cancer treatment. The navigators that worked at the Access Clinics, we had five navigators. Two of them were African American and three Hispanic. Their average age was 40. They were mostly high school educated, so they were lay navigators. Now, at the University Medical Center, we had two navigators, one white, one Hispanic. Average age was about 30, and they had a college and graduate degree. In order for a patient to be enrolled in the Chicago program, for the breast arm, they had to have an abnormal clinical breast exam, abnormal screening mammogram, ultrasound, or MRI, or invasive cancer or ductal carcinoma in situ. For the cervical arm, they had to have visible or suspicious lesions in the cervix, abnormal pap smear, or cervical cancer or precancerous lesions. They were ineligible if they've had cancer treatment in the past 5 years or if they've previously worked with a navigator. The way the enrollment process worked is that the navigator at the clinic or at the medical center would review the medical records, identify eligible patients. When the patient came to the clinic, the navigator would approach the patient and ask if they would like to participate in the project. Patients with an abnormal finding would get help from the navigator to get a definitive test that would tell the patient, yes, you have cancer, or no, you don't, and you just need to come back for regular screening. If patients had cancer and they were enrolled in this program, the navigator would help them through the first round of treatment. All patients were followed for a year or until completion of their definitive diagnostic test. So now I'll talk a little bit about the results, kind of share with you the demographics of the patients that were enrolled in the program, share with you the barriers that the navigators identified and some of the actions they took, and also show you how they've helped, how navigators have helped patients reach a definitive diagnosis for breast and cervical cancer abnormalities. So most of our patients were enrolled based on an abnormal finding. This is just a table that shows you a breakdown. We had a lot more patients in the control groups for both breast and cervical arms than we did in the navigated group. And then overall, we had a lot more patients in the cervical arm of the project. The way that we tried to select the control group was to mirror the navigated group in age, race, ethnicity, and insurance status. We found there were some differences in insurance status. So when we look at this breakdown, you see the top, the breast group. Most of the patients were enrolled in a state program that offered breast and cervical cancer screening to the uninsured. The program is IBCCP, or Illinois Breast and Cervical and Cancer Program. In the cervical arm, most of our patients' insurance status was Medicaid. When we look at age, we see that in the breast arm, most of our patients were 40, 50 years old. In the cervical arm, they were in their 30s. When we look at race and ethnicity, most were Hispanic and African American. Now, here are some characteristics that we could only get for the navigated group, but this is comparable to the control group, we think. So when we look at marital status, most women were single, and actually a lot more women were single in the cervical group than in the breast. Most women were unemployed. There weren't any significant differences between breast and cervical arms. And most women had eighth grade or less education with some high school. And this is important to know because if you're going to implement a patient navigation program, then you want to train the navigator to explain things to the patients and address this education barrier. So this is where the navigators try to identify barriers. There were a lot more barriers than are listed here. The first, so I picked 10, the first sort of that shows up the most is proactive navigation, and that's not really a barrier. It's actually when navigators did things in anticipation of a barrier. So a lot of our patients actually didn't have a barrier. The next most frequent barrier was insurance, case management, system problems with scheduling care, and medical and mental health comorbidity. When you look at barriers by race and ethnicity, you see that both Black, African American, and Hispanic groups had insurance as a big barrier. And then when you look, transportation was a huge barrier for Black and African American patients, and system problems with scheduling care, and also case management that's not highlighted here, were huge barriers for the Hispanic Latino population. So when we look at sort of the top navigator actions for those barriers, we see that referrals and direct contact was a frequent action taken by the navigators. There was a lot of no actions taken, and that's for those patients who didn't have a barrier identified. Scheduling appointments, education, and support. So when we look at top five patient navigator actions for Black and African American patients, we see that referrals, direct contact, and support were big actions for that group. And for Hispanic and Latino patients, again, a lot of these patients didn't have a barrier identified, and this may be due to the fact that the navigator moved this patient through the system before even identifying the barrier. And a lot of these, the navigator scheduled appointments for Hispanic Latino patients. So now we're going to look at some data that will show you how the navigator helped patients follow up on their initial breast and cervical cancer diagnosis. And here we see that in the breast arm, in the navigated group, about 7% more patients, more women, received a definitive diagnosis. So there's still a difference here. When you look at the cervical group, there's about 10% more patients in the navigated group that received a definitive diagnosis. So this really shows that navigators help. Then what we did is we took a subgroup of our sample, and we just looked at uninsured patients in both the navigated and the control group. And what we found were that in the navigated group, 16% more patients received a definitive diagnosis. And in the cervical group, about 10% more patients received a definitive diagnosis. And so this is kind of important because these patients were all enrolled in the state program that already provided some of the services that the navigators provided. But this really shows that navigation adds an extra layer. So for discussion points, navigators address cancer health disparities. They identify barriers and help reach a definitive diagnosis for patients. Barriers and actions are different by racial and ethnic populations. So we see in the Black and African American community that transportation is a huge barrier. And for this community, the navigator mostly refers patients and provides support. In the Hispanic and Latino community, we see that insurance was a huge barrier. And this is where the navigators helped to enroll patients in a state program that offered some coverage. And they also, the navigators helped to schedule appointments for these patients. And finally, navigation adds an extra layer to a state program that already sort of provides some of the similar services, but maybe not enough. And maybe we should do a little more research on that. This basically says the same thing that the discussion slide. Thank you.